Hello and welcome to a special interview for the S-Words podcast. With us today, we have Johnny Yong Bosch, the actor, voice actor, martial artist, and musician, well known for his role in Mighty Morphin Power Rangers and his voice credits for Trigun, Bleach, and Devil May Cry 4. So welcome, Mr. Bosch. It's a pleasure to have you with us today.
It's great to be here.
Thank you.
All right, Dom. So I know you've got the very first question lined up. Why don't you go ahead?
Well, I'm really curious about motion capture work because we've been in motion capture suits before, thanks to Lawrence.
Yeah.
And I spent about 2 hours, 3 hours in one of those things, and it felt very strange, very a little itchy.
Yeah.
It exposed me to everybody on the Game Developers Conference floor. They actually got to see more of me than I've seen of myself in years.
Very scared.
So I'd like to ask you what it's like to do motion capture work day in, day out like that for the kind of things that you did for Devil May Cry 4.
You know, that's kind of part of being an actor is really just really kind of losing yourself in the character. And those are some of the things. If you keep thinking about, oh man, I'm like basically naked here, then you're really not going to be able to dive into the character. And so you really just kind of have to let that stuff go and be like, hey man, this is what I look like in this weird suit. But you just got to go and find the character and just imagine you look cool like Nero, you know. I look cool right now, even though I have white balls everywhere. And you know.
Was it really easy to move in that way?
Yeah, it was really easy. I think the hardest part when doing any of the action or even just talking to somebody close up was that we had half the time we had a camera attached to our head. That was, I don't know, it was maybe, you know, it was about a foot out from our face. And so I couldn't really swing the sword very well. I had to swing around that camera. And so and when you talk to somebody or if you're face to face with somebody, you're not really, you know, you can't get that close to them, you know. I mean, we had to do a couple of different versions without it just so they can capture us really up close. But, you know, that was probably the hardest part, I think, the most awkward. It was pretty loose. I mean, you know, it's like once you get over the fact that you're basically naked, it's like, whee! We're free!
So another question is, Ruben Langdon, I've spoken to him before, the guy who plays Dante and also runs the studio, I believe, right?
Yeah, uh-huh.
And
Just Cause.
He's mentioned before that he prefers, for motion capture work, stage actors and martial artists or people who've worked on Power Rangers to do all of his acting because TV actors are too stiff, movie actors are too stiff. So did he come to you for the playing the role of Nero or did he hold an open audition? Like, how did you get into that role?
There's auditions. I think he had handpicked maybe a few, you know, people. I know for certain that he picked a few people, but most of the people had a experience as like they have martial arts experience. They're good physical actors, I guess, and you know actors. And that was kind of they're just looking for people like that because it is true. You have to be able to. It's a little odd. It's like like with film, you can be really subtle, you know, with anything you do, and it'll read in your eyes or whatever, you know. And with voiceover, it's all in your voice. But with motion capture, everything has to be slightly over the top. You know, if you shrug your shoulders like this, you're like, you know, real subtle, it's not going to read. It has to be a little over the top. So everything's going to be a little more awkward, you know, and it's got to be a little bigger. So everything here has to be big with your body while your face with the camera has to be normal because they're capturing that. And your voice, you know, kind of it has to be normal and whatever as well. But so it's a little odd adjusting to that. So it did help being in Power Rangers, I think. Just because I was used to being in spandex and moving around and stuff. So,
out of curiosity, who did they ever get to put in those putty suits? Was that all stuntmen, or did you ever get into those putty suits?
The weird little putty never dance? Did. No, yeah, it was. They're mostly. I mean, I can't think of. You know what? There was like maybe one or two times when they just had a couple extras jump in the suits because they needed a couple others just kind of in the background. But most of the time was stuntmen. You know. And they never had any, I mean, I would say 99% of the time. Actually, yeah, 99.9% of the time was stuntmen doing the stuff in there.
All right.
I quick question. So you say they capture your face too, right? For your expression. How do they go about doing that? Like, is there markers on your face?
No, well, they do that too. There's in this one, they didn't really do that. They have the capability of doing that.
Right.
This one, I think they were trying out like this new kind of technology, or at least then it was new, where they can just put the camera on your face and the computer, if you didn't raise your eyebrow or whatever, the computer character would do the same thing. It just mimicked your expressions. Yeah. So they did it that way when we were doing all the acting, and then it was the action, and then later it was like, okay, some of it didn't really work because like we're moving, maybe the camera moved too much, and so we had to redo all that stuff with the camera just sitting still on our face, and we had to keep our chin straight and then do all our expressions like that, you know, it'd be like really big face motions, and then we had to do when we did the voiceover and went back over all our stuff. They also did the same thing. Like, we kind of had to keep our face in a certain area so that it would read, you know, in our expression. So it was interesting. But usually when you're acting or you're voice acting, your face kind of follows what you're feeling anyways, you know? So it wasn't that bad. I mean, it was just, sometimes it was just kind of awkward trying to stay still and whatever, kind of be crying, you know, or whatever it was. And it's like, I can't really get into it too much or whatever. So, yeah, it's kind of strange, but, you know, you adjust to it.
Ruben's also mentioned before that he actually has the freedom to write his own lines these days. You know, they give you a Japanese script, and you're in charge of, you know, turning that into the English script. Did you have that same freedom with Nero, or was it more of his?
Well, everything's on paper, you know. It wasn't I just remember when I read the script, I thought, wow, this is a really cool script, and I was familiar with Devil May Cry. But when I read Nero, I thought, my first read-through was like, well, this feels just like Dante, you know? And so I thought, the only thing I could do to change him is make him more, I guess, emotional, like he's on the verge of exploding kind of with his emotions or whatever, and make him a little more naive and young. And that was one of the things I talked to the director about. I was like, so how do I make him different? You know? And I was like stressing out, and he's like, you are Nero. And that's all he said. And I was like, okay, so basically whatever I do is going to be what he wants, you know? And so there was a lot of freedom in that. And it helped me go, okay, well, I don't need to worry so much about it. You know, if I want him to cry right now, I'll make him cry. If I want him to shout right now, I'll make him shout. And most of the time, whatever I did, you know, whatever came naturally to me when I read it, I was like, this is what I would do. Then the director was like, good, or give me more of that or less of that. So, you know, he kind of let me do a lot of that. As far as lines, there were a couple things where they would say, does this sound right to you? Or you know, does something sound strange? Or they gave us a lot of freedom in that. But then again, there's some things that you have no control over. So yeah, there's some things that you have no control over. There's some things that in Japanese are so cool. You know, they're showing us the taunts, and there's a couple taunts that I guess in like Yakuza when they do it, and you know, they kind of squat down or whatever, and it looks really funny. Like you're like, what? That's not very threatening at all. To them, it is. To us, it's like, is he taking a dump? You know. So there are a lot of things where there's much more freedom. I think Ruben had, you know, a harder time with it. He did have freedom, obviously, but he was juggling not only doing the acting, but, you know, working on script and getting everything, like the whole production, you know, he had a lot of that weight on his shoulders. All I was there was just acting. So I can be like, well, this is what I'm going to do. You deal with your stress. But yeah, he had a lot on his shoulders. Yeah, it's fun though, I think. I don't know what else I was going to say. It's really, really important.
That's okay. I think Lita's been holding in her Power Rangers questions this entire time, and she.
I want to ask mocap questions.
You want to ask more mocap questions? We have Power Rangers. Okay.
It's fine. You're going to edit anyways, right?
I don't know if we're going to edit that.
Actually, I got a question about this. For motion capture, how do they sort of give you the direction? They just tell you, you know, if you need to swing a sword, swing the sword, how you would feel like? Do they tell you what kind of way, or is there like a script for motion capture?
No, there. Well, it depends. There on the taunts, there was they had like a drawing of what kind of stance they wanted him to be at, and then they would, with the taunts, they would have a little bit of a direction. You know, maybe he waves his hand or he gives some kind of a, you know, and then they, how would you do it? And then they would kind of see how you would do it. And if it seemed like, okay, that looks good, then you would do it. Or swing the sword. What do you want to do? You know, or swing the sword down or whatever. And they gave, you know, give you that kind of, that's where I guess being a martial artist would definitely help, because then whatever you do is going to be very natural for you, you know? If you're just an actor, you'd be like, oh, no, you know, and it just wouldn't work. It'd look retarded. What was the question again?
No, that's quite all right. It was just about motion capture scripting.
They don't give you a whole lot of direction as far as that, but the fight scenes are choreographed. You know, we walk through them a few times. In the stage area, they have cameras all around, and so sometimes they walk you through and say, okay, there's a table here, there's a desk here. And it was kind of cool because the first time, I mean, I hadn't done that before, and so you go in there and they just have pads and boxes and all this weird stuff, and these Japanese guys made weapons like guns and swords and everything out of like styrofoam and duct tape, and that's what we swung around, and then they had like the little balls on it for motion capture, so it could read. So it was really interesting, you know, but it was really weird. I mean, swinging a sword that's like taller than you is kind of awkward, yeah, they just kind of give you mentally and I guess visually something to play with or what your obstacles are, and then they say, okay. And then most of the stuff is choreographed because he is directing you. So you say, well, he wants you to walk up here, or he'll ask you, well, what would you do? You know, so it's kind of, there's a lot of freedom, but obviously within what he wanted to see as far as his action.
I'm actually curious about one of the taunts, because our favorite taunt in Devil May Cry 4 is if you get to, I think, double S or triple S or something like that, and you taunt, then Nero starts playing air guitar. And if you don't touch the controller, he will keep going for air guitar. So how long did they have you playing air guitar in a motion capture suit? I'm curious.
I don't remember how long. I do remember the thing was just like, plays air guitar or whatever, and I'm like, well, what do you want me to do? You know? I was like, I play the guitar, I can fake that, you know? And so I just remember just kind of just doing some stuff. I don't remember how long. And I actually haven't played the game that much, like, right. I played a little bit of it, so, and I'm not even good at it, so there's no way I would get to a point where I can actually see him do anything cool. I mean, I don't even have his like arm yet. But yeah, I don't remember how long that was. Okay. But it's kind of funny. I'm sure it's
guitar
on a loop. Yeah, yeah. I'm sure they can do a loop unless he's doing everything different, because I don't remember exactly
It's doing a loop, but the question is, you know, how they can find a good stopping point for the loop, but I guess that's up to them. And not,
yeah, because they can tweak anything. Like, right. Like for instance, if like I aim the gun and I'm slightly off like this or something looks weird, they can just take that in the computer or whatever they captured and just rotate my arm a little bit. So they had, you know, if I walk funny, you know, they can be like, all right, let's fix that. You know, he's got one leg a little too long or something, you know. So, yeah, they can tweak things like that.
Very cool.
All right. Actually, going back to freedom, so like Devil May Cry 4, you got quite a bit of freedom with that kind of role. Like, is what role have you actually had the most freedom to just go at it whichever way that you want to go?
Devil May Cry 4 was probably, I had the most freedom, yeah. There was, I mean, when you think about like when we do anime, it really is, if it's the way it's drawn is how you have to play the character. You know, if the character is crying, you can't be laughing the whole time or jolly or whatever, you know. So with this, it was just like doing, you know, like I've done a couple films or whatever, or even when I did Power Rangers, it was, you know, you get a script, you know, and whatever comes to you is like, well, this is how I would do it, or this is how I see the character doing it. Then you create that, you know, go, okay, this is how I'm going to do it, you know. Or you come up with a couple different ways in case the director is like, well, I don't like that, you know. So there's a lot of freedom in that. But now, even with anime, there is a lot of freedom within it, but you're still kind of limited to the picture, you know. Well, you are limited to the picture.
I was actually curious about some voice acting. I've noticed recently in American voice acting, there's been a lot more freedom to craft the character yourself. They're not tied to the Japanese interpretation of the character anymore. So do you even listen to the Japanese track anymore, or do they just give you the character, they give you the script, and you are free to turn that into your own character?
When you audition, you have whatever freedom. And most places still will show you the Japanese track. I think because they want you to know where the characters are coming from, and also sometimes the other actors have not done their part yet, so all you're going to be hearing is yourself. So it's good to kind of see, okay, well, maybe this is how they're going to be playing their line, and so this is probably how I should play mine. So it kind of gives you a good like feeling. You can kind of feel where maybe the character is. But yeah, there is, like you're saying, there is a little more freedom now. Like even with Ichigo, I can kind of like take him a little bit where I want him to go. Like now in the newer season, I feel like I can make him a little darker. Yeah. And so, and there's some progression in there, but then sometimes things throw you for a loop, you know, like the Bounce series, like that was like a whole different thing. You know, I thought I was taking the character one way and then that changed my mind completely. It's like, oh, okay, he's not so cool anymore, you know? But as far as like his ability.
All right. So one question I've had. I read your Wikipedia entry.
I don't put that stuff in there.
I know you don't.
It's not my entry. Yeah.
You got a lot of fans, I'll tell you.
In fact, at one point, I tried to change it all and make it right. And then they said no. They were like rejected it. I was like, no, but this is like me. This is like the real. This is my real information.
You're not 6 foot six with 1% body fat.
Of course I am. Can't you tell from my voice?
So you've done movies, you've done television. You've got a band. You're doing voice acting, motion capture. How do you find time to do everything?
You know, it's just part of who I am, really, all that stuff. And it's really all I've got. I think if I were smarter, you know, and I could do something else, you know, if I had another, my passion really is just kind of creating things, you know, from within myself. So acting or writing songs or singing and playing, that's all really kind of an expression of who I am. And it's really just me kind of laying myself out there and trying to be who I am here while we're here until I die, and to kind of maybe leave something, you know, something important, or at least as much as I can. It's not that important though. I'm a voice actor, you know, I'm not saving the world, you know, so that's where I am doing the music thing. 'Cause I feel like that's more, you know, there's more in there. So it's just all I've got. If I were, you know, if I had the brains to build a rocket ship, I would, you know, but this is what I've been given. And so this is, I'm just going to do this. And I feel like we really aren't here that long. So I've got to do as much as I can before I'm gone, you know, so that there's something to remember me by.
It's a gift I wish I had.
So I've been reading that you and your band have gone on to a tour in some different cities.
Yeah.
Like when you do have time to do that, what's the experience like? Just like trying to get, you know, your music out there.
It's cool. In the beginning, I mean, even now, but in the beginning, definitely, it was, we had gigs outside of, like, this guy called us up, hey, and which was totally cool. He's like, hey, we want you to guys to come play for the premiere of Spider-Man, right? And we're like, whoa, that, wow. Exactly, you know? Yeah, you're like, that is freaking cool, you know? We're like, dude, yeah, let's go do it. But it was just a opening at his theater. So we were outside in the parking lot just playing for random people walking by for their opening. It wasn't like we were there for the premiere, you know. It was like, but he made it seem so cool in the email. But it was still cool because it was an opportunity for us to play. But then looking back, it's kind of funny. It's like we were like, are you kidding me? This is what really? But it was not as cool as we thought it was going to be. And then, you know, you have people that like you and don't like you, you know, like with anything you do. But I think one of the biggest rewards is finding people that your music connects to. You know, they're like, this song speaks to me, you know. Or when you're up there playing and the people are singing back a song that you wrote. You know, that's really rewarding. You feel like you've done something, you know.
You know, you were the second Black Power Ranger.
Yeah.
And
I wasn't Black.
Even, I know
you know.
And so even at that time, Power Rangers was still a huge sensation for right. children's yeah. programming. What's it like when you're just out in an every you're out doing your everyday things, you see a kid playing with like the action figure, or you see kids playing with Power Rangers? How does it feel knowing that, you know, they watch your show every day, but they may not know that it's you? Or
maybe people who come up to you when they've grown up and like, I used to watch you when I was like 10 or whatever.
It's interesting. I mean, it's pretty cool. And it's different now. Like now it is more people like, hey, they kind of like give me a look first, like,
yeah,
you look familiar, you know? Did you go, what high school did you go to? Or whatever, you know? And then like when they figure it out, you know, because I don't really like to say, because it's just kind of weird. I don't like to be like, whoa, how was that? I'm in Power Rangers. And they're like, no, that's not it. You know? No, it was Garland High School, wasn't it? No, but now it's a lot of people that would recognize. And actually, it's not a lot. I mean, it's like random, actually, you know. Right. And then they go, hey, you're that guy from Power Rangers or whatever. And so and they're all older. They're all like 20 something, you know.
Yeah.
And so it's really different. Back when I started, though, I couldn't go out anywhere because it was really like wherever I went, they're like, hey, there's the guy or whatever, you know, because where I lived was exactly where we shot and there were people there all the time.
Oh,
so,
wow.
So anywhere I'd go, there was a kid that would recognize me or something like that. So it was really wild. It was crazy. But it was kind of annoying, too.
I bet.
Because you didn't really have that. Like for me, I like just kind of sitting in my room or whatever, you know, or being by myself half the time. So that was gone. Like I'd had no privacy. But now it's different because everybody's grown up and
right.
It's not like, it's like, oh, that's the guy. It's kind of cool though because Power Rangers now is like, then it was like, or at least as an actor, or just then it was just like, it's so cheesy.
It
it's
is.
So cheesy. But now it's like, it's, but, well, even the show, but like now it's like retro. It's cool.
Yeah.
Cause like at Hot Topic, they have Power Ranger jackets and shirts. You know? Yeah.
Yeah. It's totally yes. like the, yeah, it's a retro
yeah.
thing now.
Yeah.
So, dude, if you don't have a Power Ranger jacket, you better get one.
Yeah,
I got one.
I'm stuck here with my Wallace and Gromit jacket. That's so 2003.
But yeah, so do you keep in contact with any of the Power Ranger friends that you were co-actors with?
Yeah, a couple of them. Jason Frank I still talk to occasionally, and we were supposed to do a con, but then I
screwed up. He's a high school teacher now or something, or was he?
No, he's not a high school teacher.
Really?
What? Oh,
no.
Oh, on the show?
No.
On the show, yes. But or he like went back, and I think he was like a teacher or something like that.
Yeah.
But he's a martial arts instructor.
Yeah.
And like after Power Rangers, I think he did a couple independent films and stuff like that, and some shows or whatever. But then after that, he just kind of jumped into his martial arts schools, and he had a couple of them I think at the time, and things were going really good, and they're still going good. But he like moved from where he was to another place, and so his schools and teaching is really kind of where he's gifted.
That's cool.
And that's kind of I think his passion. All and right. So him and Karen, I guess, Steve, occasionally I talk to, Narvi, you know, Bulk and Skull, he was Skull. So those are a couple of them that I still keep in contact
That's
with. I mean, I haven't lately because I've been doing a lot of stuff
right.
actually. And so occasionally it's just an email or a text, you know, or something like that.
That's cool.
All right. Actually, so you were also in both the first two Power Rangers movies. I'm not sure if they made any beyond that. Was there much of a transition going from, you know, working on a TV studio set to a movie studio set?
Oh yeah. We shot in California for this show, and we shot the movie. The first movie, at least, was shot in Australia.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I was there for 3 months. I was there longer than anybody else. And the reason was because there was a moment where me and my stunt double were jumping, seeing who can do the higher side flip. And he won, but he hit a wall and broke his femur. And
oh
so,
my God.
Yeah, he was a great stuntman too.
Wow.
And so, but then from that point on, they're like, well, you know martial arts, so you're going to do your stunts on. Yeah, so like the ninja stuff was me. But they didn't let me do a lot because I was the actor. They didn't want me to get hurt. And so they kind of limited quite a bit of what I could do. But yeah, so that's why I was there longer. But it was a huge difference. The budget for that movie was so much bigger than, you know, what we had on the show. And then we had like these big, like I thought the suits were so cool. They're like Batman suits, you know, with muscle, whatever stuff. And, you know, TV show was spandex, you know, there are a lot of things, but it was kind of I wasn't even ready whenever I was on the show, but then like jumping from a TV show to the film. It was different because there's so much more. I wasn't really an actor. It was just playtime for me, really. I had no idea what I was doing. I was just like, well, this is what it says. I'm going to just do this. And I didn't really take things serious until really after Power Rangers. And I was like, wait a minute, I need to start thinking about acting. But, yeah, so there's quite a few things that were different. But it was all just kind of a learning experience. I don't really know what else I can say. I mean, just going to Australia was really different, you know. Everybody's driving on the other side of the road, you know. They talk a little funny. But it was really cool, though. It was, yeah, it's totally cool. I would prefer to do the films, you know. If I could do more of the films like that, that would be cool. The TV show is fun, but then after a while, you do whatever, almost 200 of them, then it gets kind of old after a while because it's the same thing. You know, your character doesn't really change that much, or at least mine didn't, you know. He got to talk a little bit more, you know, and then eventually he started becoming the funny guy. And then they made him grow long hair, and then they got rid of him.
So speaking about your acting career after Power Rangers, this is kind of a sensitive topic among the Asian American community, especially with the news about the Avatar movie casting, with the news about the Dragon Ball movie casting, and with the Dr. Horrible song called Nobody's Asian in Hollywood. So what is your experience as a, you know, at least an Asian American actor in show business? Is it tougher that you found? Is it any different?
It's depending on what you want to play, you know. I don't want to play a waiter, you know, or a dishwasher. I want to play something a little more important, you know. I think a lot of those roles, you know, are taken by some of the older, you know, stars like Jet Li or Jackie Chan or guys like that that already have that name status and the ability. And unless you're not, you know, unless you're established, then it's a real struggle. And definitely, like, after Power Rangers, unless it's rare for them to look for a lead Asian guy, you know, for a TV show. I mean, you think about it, you know, there's... Unless it's like a...
There's heroes.
But it's not just him, right? It's like all these other people, you know? Right. So it's like Power Rangers, basically. So when they're looking for, like, hey, we need to make sure we get a white guy and this guy and an Asian guy, you know, then in a show, then you'll see that, you know? But it's rare unless it's like martial law.
Yeah.
But even him, but Sammo was big, you know? I'm not huge, but he was like a big name, you know? Right. And a great, you know, martial arts guy.
But they're all from China or like from their home. There's still one Asian American taking these kind of roles.
No, it's a lot of times they are pulling them from other places and bringing them over here, you know, because I don't know, because they have the ability and maybe there's something there. I don't know. But it is harder. And it was definitely harder after Power Rangers. There was nothing for me to go out for. And even the stuff that, like, my agent was trying to find me stuff, and it was all just the wrong stuff for me. There's nothing really for me.
Nothing really build a career.
Yeah, and really the stuff that started coming my direction was stuff that maybe I knew this director or this writer, whoever, or producer, and they were like, well, he's got some talent. Let's try to make something for him. And so some things came my way because I knew people and... You know, we try to make that happen on a low budget scale or an independent scale, and that's really kind of the only place we have to play. Mm-hmm. If we're going to play a somewhat important role at this point, so hopefully things have changed. Yeah, and you know, and the Dragon Ball Z, it's like, well, you know, I guess maybe people aren't ready yet. I don't know. I think people are ready, but it's just the studios aren't ready to go, all right, let's try this guy out, you know, and they're definitely not ready to bank on someone who doesn't have a big name, you know, like a big draw, like a theatrical release draw, you know. So it's tough, but it's all part of...
Have you noticed the environment at least getting friendlier in the past 10 years or so?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, because there was a while when they wouldn't even bring Jackie Chan over for anything, you know. And and so, but then all of a sudden when Jackie Chan did something and it was good and it was big, then... You saw him in every movie, you know, and like all his old movies were coming over here and they're changing the names to fool you. So, yeah, you see a lot of that. But then, I kind of hope that, you know, I get to play something a little more important before I'm too old to do anything or I'm freaking 60 like Jackie Chan and I finally get to play something, you know. So it's a long time before he can actually come over here and do something you know.
How do you still keep up with your martial arts while you're voice acting? Like, what is your routine like to keep up and keep in shape if you want to get that potential role? For like the role of like, you know, that lead
the
martial
hero
movie, the action
or...
hero, if you get that role. Like...
Well, I mean, knowing martial arts, knowing some basic movements is always a good thing.
Right.
I think though, and it's one of the things that I realized after Power Rangers was that acting is really key, you know. If you can't really act, then they don't care. If you can backflip five times before you land, they don't care.
There's plenty of room for stuntmen.
Exactly. And so if you have some ability, and but you can act, then, you know, then you've got a good chance of doing something, you know. And that's really kind of been my focus, is trying to, like, get my acting on par, you know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, with each character is slightly different. Like, I did a film called Broken Path, and I worked with Koichi Sakamoto, who's producer of Power Rangers, and I worked with him quite a bit. And he's got Alpha Stunts, which is a great stunt team. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're the best. And so for that film, we brought in a lot of martial artists were playing all the roles, because there's a ton of fighting. It's nonstop action. Right. But then for me mentally, for playing that character right, the guys need to be bigger than me, you know, especially because one of them was a female and she was going to be like one of the main baddies. And so I just stopped eating. I ate like chicken, and that was it, like one chicken a day. And it was like, I mean, other side from training. But because I wanted to look smaller than her, you know, and so there's things that you do as an actor to fit certain things like that. And I think, I guess that kind of maybe answers your question, sort of.
That's hard.
But it is more like, I mean, as a martial artist, you know, I was a martial artist first before an actor, being an actor. And so it's hard. And like, you kind of have to learn martial arts when you're younger and flexible, because then your movements would be kind of, your foundation would be fluid, you know, it'd be really smooth. Exactly. If you start learning it now, a lot of times people look stiff, you know, and most people can tell. Definitely a martial artist can look and go, that guy doesn't know what he's doing, you know.
That's great.
I think we're done on some direct questions. Is there anything you want to tell our listeners for the S Words podcast?
Keep your S words to a minimum. Thanks for listening to S Words, and I hope you had a good time.
All right, we thank you, Mr. Bosch, for giving us this interview.
Thank you.
Should we do the traditional ending?
All right, Dom, you want to lead us off on the quote sound off?
You're the demon, not me.
I'm a frog.
It's morphin' time. So it's fun. I don't know if you know this, but yours is off.
Oh.
Oh.
God.
Did you turn it off?
No. Thank you for telling.
Yeah, no problem. Your mic's off.
Leveling will fix it.
I don't know if you've asked a question yet, so it's okay.
Oh, thank God.
She's the one that knocked on the door and came in, right?
Yeah. All right. So.
All of us have been on other than that mic, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
You checked that mic, too. Okay. It's okay.
All right, we're letting this out.
Maybe you could just have her randomly talking about stuff and giggling. You know, you should just giggle a lot and then insert it. Johnny's so funny. I'm talking about
She's
something emotional.
Yeah, you guys laughed at that. That's really funny.